Turn to Luke chapter 8. Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. Dr. Luke, Intellect Luke, who got born again. Hallelujah. Took that talent, anointed it, and used it for Christ. And Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. Everybody there, would you read it with me, please? Then I sailed to the country of the... Is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there now? You sure? Luke chapter 8, verse 26, again. Can we read it together now? Are you ready? Praise God. Are you sure? Verse 26. 1, 2, 3. Burabakasupatata. Hallelujah. Did everybody get it? Okay, interpret it and write it in your notes. Okay. Verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite of Galilee. And when he stepped out of the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. Could have been one of us. Can you lower this mic just a little, please? Might have met me over there. Hallelujah. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Now, this is very powerful because obviously you can see that demons have feelings. Gucci, Gucci, goo. Hallelujah. Tricked me once, won't do it again. But where would I go? I don't know. Into the pig, you little vermin. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? Now, this is powerful. And he said, Legion, because many demons have entered him. So we understand that Legion was the head honcho. So everybody, I want you to understand something important. Demons hang out in groups. Where there's one, there's a cluster. Okay? I remember being demonized and paranoid. I would see families of them. And I thought it was nuts. I try and say to somebody, man, they're in the other room. You didn't see them. And they were there. And he said, what is your name? So he was going after the main one. See, now they must obey. Of course, they try to lie. And you can command them not to lie. Where there's one, there is a cluster. There's never just one demon. So everybody understand this. They hang out in groups. They're families. They cluster together. Okay. Now, and they what? Begged him, didn't they? That he would not command them to go into the abyss. Ooh, they didn't want to go back. Why? They didn't like it there either. There was no fulfillment there. They couldn't get fed. Why? Because they need humans to be fed. Now, a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. So they knew that they needed some place to survive, to live. Amen. And they were looking for anything. They were even willing to take an animal. So we know that demons can enter animals. I've cast out demons out of dogs and stuff. Cats, you know. Snakes, I just behead them. They can just stay right there. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently. They run violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Even the pigs didn't want them in there. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it into the city and in the country. And of course, they were really upset. That was their livestock. But they weren't concerned about the man that was demonized. They were concerned about the cash. Hello? Then they went to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found a man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also had seen it told them by what means he who had been demonized or demon-possessed and how he was healed. Then a whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demon had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own home and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Amen. Now I want you to understand something, that demons have a personality. Demons have an attitude. And demons have motives. Where there is one, there is a cluster. Does everybody understand that? So we see in this man got healed. Now a legion represents 2,000 to 3,000. So this man had 2,000 to 3,000 demons in him. Come on. We cast out probably over 30 out of one person in one night. Got a couple hours. I lost track. Now, I want you to understand that these demons were interfering with this man's destiny. Weren't they? These demons, I want you to begin to look at demons in a different arena. I want you to begin to look at them as a military army of individuals that gather together in groups and in clusters. Where there's one, always know that there's more. I want you to begin to realize that they have a personality. They have attitude and motive. You know, the world psychologists medicate individuals with dual personalities. Multi-personalities. Amen? Amen? They medicate them because the person is acting different. Demons have personalities. Is everybody with me? So, we got to understand that these are a military. They are divisions of Satan's kingdom that are professional assassins. And they are out to assassin your destiny. Does everybody understand this? They are professional assassins. They are hitmen or hit demons. Amen? And begin to look in this an arena. So when you see one, an individual has got a multi-personality, he's got more than one demon. These are assassins out to destroy your destiny. Is everybody with me? Good. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. These are called assassins of destiny. That's tonight's teaching. Assassins of destiny. Now we know that our destiny is something that's been predestined. God has a predestined plan, right? Purpose and calling for each and every one of us. And the enemies, this military, who are professional assassins, is out to assassin, interfere with your destiny. Because if he can interfere with your destiny, God has to go another route. And you know, many of us have gone the long route instead of the short route. Why? Because the enemy has been assassinating our destiny. Remember, where there's one demon, there's a multitude. They never hang out alone. Okay, where did I say to go? Second Corinthians chapter 6. Is everybody okay? Oh, glory. Did you ever notice sometimes that your attitude may change? Did you ever notice that your personality may change? You know what you've just done? You've shake hands with a demon. Is everybody with me? You've shaken hands with a demon, and he has affected you. Did you ever see Jesus change attitude or motive? No. Did you ever see his personality change? No. How did he stay? He stood firm, didn't he? I'm not talking about compassion and loving. I'm not talking about authority. Those are all one. So everybody understand? I'm talking about personality. Did you ever get around someone who's pretty flippant? Or up, down, up. Multi-personality. Demons. Not just one, a cluster. Is everybody with me? Okay, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 11. All Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Read it with me. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own what? Affections, your own desires, right? Your own delusions. Your own will. Now in return for the same I speak as to children, you also be what? Open. Do not be what? Unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Now, I want you to look at something very powerful. And for God has said what? I will be with them and I will walk with them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And don't touch what is unclean. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. The first assassin to your destiny is you. Yourself is the first assassin to your destiny. Now, remember, we talked about self as being who? The old man. The old character, right? The one that wants everything now. You know. Every one of us in here is still dual personality. Why? Because you still have the personality of self, and you now have the personality of the new child. Amen? So you're still dual personality. But we already know that. Amen? Now, Satan accesses to me and you through that personality of self. Now, that self personality can change many ways. Why? Because it's associated with darkness. Amen? Because self is an offspring of darkness, right? And we've talked about this. But I want you to begin to understand that that dual personality that's within us, that one that you fight, you have dominion over. It's when he starts taking dominion over you that the other demons begin to cluster and come and get fed. Remember, you're not fighting flesh and blood. You're fighting powers of darkness. You're fighting voices, aren't you? You're fighting thoughts. Well, all of those are associated with demonic presence. Look at Adam and Eve. Didn't they fight a voice and a presence? Didn't they fight an attitude? Didn't they fight a personality? Amen. Right in the garden. Amen. And it was King Demon himself, Lucifer, who became Satan. Amen. He was the head honcho of Demonitis. Hallelujah. The first assassin is yourself. Self-desires. Listen, two things that are very important here. Self-desires and evil associations. Whoa. Self, like selfish desires, you know? Selfish desires, self-desires, and evil associations. Is everybody with me? That be yourself. How does he assess? How they access? How is that arena? Well, selfish desires and evil associations. And that's what the scripture is talking about right there. Selfish desires and evil associations. What did he say? He said, listen, don't be yoked with them. Right? He said, your light, what you got doing hanging around with darkness? He says, you're the temple of God. They're the temple of demons. He says, what's affecting you is your affections or your desires and your evil associations. And then he says, don't even touch it. Why? Because it's going to... Do you ever, you know, when you put trees or lights all around the Christmas tree? Amen? Well, look at the tree itself. And once you plug it in, all those lights come out. Those are demons. They cluster. Amen? They cluster. So, hello. Hallelujah. And then what do? We dress them all up, don't we? And we put gifts underneath them and everything, you know? We feed them. Oh, hallelujah. But we look at the Christmas tree today as the tree of life. Amen? Praise God. So the first assassin is yourself. Oh, go to John 10:10. Hallelujah. John 10:10. Oh, the glory. Praise you, Lord. John 10 and 10. Is everybody there? What's it say? The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. So we know that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He uses you to bring self-destruction. Now, he targets anyone with a dream or a vision or a purpose for a new life. Come on now. See, sometimes we think, well, he's just targeting me because I'm a born-again believer. No, he's targeting anyone who is desiring a new life. Because when you desire a new life, you enter into the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said to me. He said, guy, you want to get off drugs and alcohol? You want a new life? I didn't even know it was him. I thought it was my thought. I said, well, you know what? I need to have a new life. I want a new life. I figured it out. Wow, the drugs and alcohol never gave me a new life. Even when I tried to get off of it, I still hung around the same evil associations and had the same desires. And man, were they clustering. When I woke up in the morning, they were all sitting there. Fork in one hand, knife in the other, and a big apron. Let's eat. Hallelujah. James 3. Glory to God. The Bible says to hate evil. And one of the problems I believe that we have is there's not enough hatred of evil. Well, Jesus said, love your enemies. I didn't see him hug no demon. Hate the sin. Hate the demon. Love the person. Of course, if the person don't want to get rid of the demon, they can go too. Hello. In James chapter 3 and verse 13. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct. Conduct. You can always, you know, see by somebody's conduct and what personality they're associating with. Amen? By good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have what? Bitter envy and what? Self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie again. It's the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Wow. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield or submit, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We see that there's self-seeking, bitterness, and envy. Now I want you to understand something important, because bitterness and envy is associated also with unforgiveness. Usually when somebody can't forgive, he's usually bitter, isn't he? Amen? And that's the second assassin, is unforgiveness. Amen? Now, the spirit of unforgiveness produces bitterness. This spirit infiltrates through offense. The spirit infiltrates through offense. Person has been offended, that refuses to forgive, and it produces the fruit of bitterness. Now we know that where there is bitterness, there is all kinds of evil. It always says that there's all kinds of evil. Why? Because demons cluster. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Is everybody there? Second Corinthians chapter 2. It's just for you. Aren't you glad we're religious? No, we're not religious. We're just crazy. Second Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. Four. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Everybody there? Can we read this together? Verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote to you, with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore I urge you to reaffirm your love, for to this end I also wrote that I might put you to the what? Test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for you are not ignorant of his devices. Oh, so he says, listen, man, it's important that you forgive. Amen? You forgive. Forgive or be taken advantage of Satan. Unforgiveness. It is the spirit of unforgiveness. It is assassin spirit. These are assassin spirits. Do you understand that? I'm going to talk about seven of them tonight, besides yourself. These are assassin spirits that want to kill your destiny. Amen? Okay. These spirits are trained assassins, killers of your destiny. They are trained. They know exactly how to kill your destiny. Does everybody understand? Go to Genesis 2. Ooh, hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2. Assassins of your destiny. Praise God. You know, God is so cool, though, you know. Because the Bible says that the Spirit tells us things to come. So if you're really walking in the Spirit, you'll know. You'll know what's to come. I'm going to give you an example. I was sharing it with some of the guys on the way home. Today, I was at one of the houses that we had purchased that we're rehabbing. And I was, because we're redoing, there's no air conditioning in there, so I've been calling around getting bids for air conditioning. And a couple of them come out, an electrician came out and so forth and whatever, and we're out there doing stuff, going, doing cleanup around there and whatever. And all of a sudden, this one guy came and he went in and he was doing some stuff. And then I walked in the room. And once I walked in the room, it was like a snapshot. You know, and I stood there. And the man was talking and I couldn't hear a word he said, but the Holy Spirit said to me, remember the dream. And then he said, there was about four or five dreams associated, but this one here was the warning one. In other words, for some reason, I don't know fully yet, but the man, the whole circumstance was evil. In other words, God was telling me, don't use them. And it was amazing because like everything just stood still, and the man was looking at me talking, and it was like he basically almost disappeared, and I saw nothing but evil associated with this whole thing. And I was standing in this living room. And I'm like, whoa. And I knew I could not and would not, no matter what the price is, have that company or that man back on that property again. Why? Because somehow, some way, that associated with a cluster of evil. And he started telling me about this, that I didn't pay any attention. I just said, okay, see you later. I was kind of shooing them out. Okay, take you and your cluster and go on. Hallelujah. Now the plumber, he got witnessed up and down, man. Hallelujah. He got witnessed up and down. Yeah. Tried to justify, but he couldn't outrun the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. I could just hang out in these places all day long, you know. All right, let's call a plumber. Yeah. Who else you want to call? Let's call a window man. Yeah, let's do that. You know? Come on, we'll just get them over here one at a time. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. Hallelujah. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a stumbling block. I mean, a helper. Hallelujah. Come on now. I will make him a trainer. Praise God. My wife here tonight? Okay, good. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep. I better not go any further. To fall on Adam, and he prayed over him. No. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. You know, the first time I heard about the word woman, I was fascinated. I thought, man, this is a man with a womb. You know, when you really think about it, that's what the word says. Womb man. And I was like, whoa. That's when I was first born again. I didn't notice those things before. In this is very important because God commanded Adam to be what? Obedient. Amen? He said, listen, before he even brought the woman, he said, Adam, here it is. Do not eat of this tree. Now, you know, he probably told him, now listen, Adam, I'm telling you, and when your other half comes, I'm going to tell her, but you're going to keep reminding her. Because I'm going to keep reminding you. Because if you read the scriptures, when the woman is communicating with the serpent, she says, well, because the serpent challenges her, he says, wait, no, we can't. She says, we can't eat it nor touch it. So she brought it even to a deeper awareness that she couldn't even touch it. So you know God told them more than once. Here was the challenge. Obedience. The spirit of disobedience is an assassin spirit. Listen, it's very important here. Because of the disobedience that occurred in the garden, it not only brought sin, it brought sickness, it brought poverty, it brought lack, and the result of a curse of disobedience. It moved Adam and Eve right out of their destiny. Satan succeeded with the assassin of disobedience and moved them right out of, changed their whole destiny. You know, people take for granted, oh, yeah, well, I'll just ask for forgiveness. Thank God he forgives. But every disobedience is associated with a change of your destiny. See, we just walk along. Well, sorry, Lord. You know, every disobedience is a change of destiny. Is everybody with me? Now, the longer it takes someone to repent, the longer the change of destiny. Why? Because time is at an essence. When there is disobedience, that individual comes out of God's time. So that's an alteration in destiny, isn't it? You don't realize what God was going to do in that split second, or what He was going to do in that moment, or that hour, or that 3 hours, or 4 hours, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 6 weeks. So all disobedience is an alteration of your destiny. Has everybody got it? Okay. Oh, hallelujah. But thank God all things work to the good. To those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. The spirit of disobedience is an assassin. And he's going to assassinate your destiny. Amen. Look at what really happened because of Adam and Eve's fall. All destiny changed. The whole world changed. The whole universe changed because of their disobedience. Think about that. Think about how destiny changed. Amen? Because of a couple's disobedience. Hello? I'm not going there tonight. Numbers chapter 20. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Disobedience will change destiny. Amen. Numbers chapter 20. Oh, praise God. You know, Adam could have said, yo, where'd you get this? I haven't eaten one of these yet. How many? Come on, he'd been there long enough. He'd have figured out, listen, this ain't from a tree I've eaten from yet. Maybe he should have had some clothes on. Things wouldn't be so, you know. Sure, I'll eat that baby, whatever you tell me. Numbers 20. Starting at verse 1. Is it hot in here? Man, I'm cooking. I'll drink that. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Whew. Oh, we're at 20. Okay. Verse 1. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and were buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron, of course. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died with our brethren, died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness that we and our animals should die here? Man, they were getting all over Mosey. I mean, he was like getting bombarded. I mean, they were loading up with every fiery dart, corruptible seed. They were trying to move him right out. He's like, man, I don't know how much longer I can contend with these kids. All 3 million of them. And Why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly quickly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod and beat every one of them. No. Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak, underline that please, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and he commanded him as he commanded him. I can imagine seeing Moses. Oh, he's probably carrying that rod like a baseball bat, you know. Going, oh, listen, I don't know how much longer I can take these people. They just don't listen. Aaron, what are we going to do? And Aaron's saying, let's get the water. Let's get the water. Okay. Right. So they both agreed to go get the water. And Moses and Aaron gathered together the assembly before the rock. So they're all hanging around this rock. Everybody was looking intently. Hear now, you rebels, you boneheads, grumblers and complainers who don't trust God. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Ooh, Moses was psyching himself up. You can see Moses' anger getting stirred up now. See, when anger starts coming, you begin to lose sight. Then Moses lifted his hand, and what did he do? He struck the rock twice with his hand, thinking about the Israelites. All these rebels. He didn't think anything. Okay, where's the water? And did this in front of the congregation. And he struck it twice, and water what? Came out abundantly. And the congregation and their animals drank. And Moses was like, all right. But you know what? He forgot something. He's supposed to speak to a rock, not strike it. See, old self got in the way of obeying God, the assassin of disobedience. That one, look at how long Moses served God. Look at what he went through. Amen? For much is given, much is required. Look at everything that Moses went through. All the miracles. Now listen, I want you to understand something. God did not hold back the miracle. But miracles are temporary. Blessings are eternal. He didn't hold back the miracle. But he removed the blessing. Look at the next verse. Read it with me. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. What did he say? Come on. Because you did not believe me to hallow me or honor me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I gave them. Wow. So not only did it affect Moses, it affected the whole assembly, didn't it? Why? Because it comes from the head down, doesn't it? Amen? See, the miracle came, but the blessing was lost. Miracles are temporary. And that's where people get confused, because they think that their disobedience, that God is rewarding them by the manifestation of the miracle. But I'm telling you, the blessing is gone. And it changes your destiny. Hello. Then you've got to go another route. And you hear it over. And next thing you know, man, why did I do that? Why didn't I just go do that right from the beginning? Well, you know, why didn't, you know, when the Lord told me to go pay that child support, or the Lord told me to go pay that fine, or the Lord told me to go make amends with that person, or the Lord, hello, and I didn't do it, or He told me not to go to that place, and I went there. Or He told me just to forgive and forget it and give it to Him. And no, I had to open my big mouth. Change destiny. And disobedience will always alter your destiny. It's a spirit, an assassin of disobedience. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Genesis 37. So we talked about the first assassin of self, the second one of what? Unforgiveness. The third one of disobedience. Genesis 37. Ooh, assassins of destiny. Are you getting this? Now you got to remember, even though we're expressing one spirit, right? There's a cluster of them, isn't there? Because there's always offshoots of these spirits. Many of them. In verse 37 and starting at verse, 3 and 4. Let's do it. Now Israel loved who? Joseph. More than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. It's called jealousy. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers. Wrong. And they hated him even more. So what did the devil use Joseph to do? Put wood on the fire, didn't he? Amen? Of course, we know that eventually Joseph's brothers ended up selling him. Didn't they? They sold him. Of course, we know all the stuff that Joseph had to go through. But maybe if Joseph kept his mouth shut, hello? But see, when you begin to show favoritism in certain areas, people begin to get jealous. And that's assassination, that assassin spirit of jealousy. Man, it produces murder, hatred, and everything else. Why? Because around jealousy, there is a cluster. Look at how relationships are. That assassin of jealousy. Marriages are destroyed. Men and women are murdered. Amen. It's not just men murdering women. Some of these women are murdering men. Amen. Children. Look at even the young kids. What the 8 and 9 year old in school, because of the assassin of jealousy, murdering the girlfriend and the parents. Talk about changing your destiny. In prison for the rest of the life. Does everybody get it? It's a very, very serious. Very serious. That's why we're to be watchful. We're to discern these things. Spirit of jealousy. Go to Exodus 20. Hallelujah. It was a fiery dart. In verse 17. Would you read it with me? You shall not what? Covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. In other words, you shall not be jealous of it. Covetousness is associated with jealousy. Go to James 4. You know how many people get in fights when they were younger over their girlfriends? Boyfriends? I mean, it's phenomenal. What you doing talking to her? What you doing talking to him? Right? It's jealousy. Where you been? Man, I've heard of all kinds of stuff happens there. It just blows my mind. Because of the spirit of jealousy. Amen. Where is it? James 4. First five verses. Would you read it with me? Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for what? Pleasure that are in your members. You what? Lust and do not have. You murder and what? Covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So we see here, right here, covet, murder, and lust. Covet, murder, and what? And lust is the fifth one. Oh, that assassin of lust. Lustophobia. It's killer. Lust is an intense and uncontrollable desire. Lust of money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of every evil. People lust for money. Lust kills destinies by stealing all the time. Now listen. By stealing all the time that was facilitated for your destiny. Lust steals time. Why? Because people end up working so much and putting so much time in making money that it actually steals the time in facilitating your destiny. Come on. It steals the time that you'd be putting in facilitating your destiny. No, I can't be there. I've got work. No, you know, Hello. It's amazing in how money will alter people's destiny. Because it's the spirit of lust, the assassin spirit of lust. Makes you believe, now check this out, it makes you believe that you're getting ahead when you are really regressing. Slowly poisons you to death. Come on, remember all those times. There's a need for sex, fame, power, admiration. Only healthy desires are submitted to God. Lust. It's an assassin spirit of lust. Lust of money. It is an intense desire, uncontrollable. You wake up daily. That's all you think about. How am I gonna? When I was in the world, that's what I thought about. I woke up every day. How am I gonna make money today? All the time when I was in the world, no matter what I was doing, if I was somewhere, even if I was out partying, I would be thinking, how am I making money somewhere else? That's all I did. So I had businesses, I had all kinds of stuff going on. Antique limousines, all kinds of, wherever I was doing, I was always making sure that all the time money was being made from somewhere. That's how I lived. Because I had the lust of money. And eventually, that spirit assassined my destiny. Threw me totally off course. Ended up in and out of jail. Ended up losing my wife and children. Ended up losing everything. And everything that I worked so hard for. I lost it. To where I used to go and see these people doing dope, and I thought, I'll never be like that. Then I began, I remember about a year or two later, I sat right next to them. And I think they're looking at me saying, don't you remember when you said you'd never be like this? In fact, some people, when I would go into these places, said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here, man? You don't belong here. You're not one of us. I am now. Move over. I got assassined by lust. Love of money. Love of self. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. What does it do? It steals the time that is supposed to be facilitated for your destiny. And it makes you believe you're getting ahead when you really are regressing. It slowly poisons you to death. Whew. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 11, and we're finishing this one. Hallelujah. A few more scriptures. Second Samuel chapter 11. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Assassins of your destiny. Oh, praise God. starting at verse 1, please. Would you read it with me? And it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when the kings were supposed to go out in battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rehob. But David remained at home in bed, eating popcorn and watching something. The Simpsons. Hallelujah. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed because he's been lazy, walked on the roof of the king's house, was led by the cluster of demons, and from the roof they all pointed this woman who was bathing. And the woman was very beautiful from a long distance. Hallelujah. So David sent and inquired about the woman after he fell off the roof. And someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, your right-hand man, your armor-bearer, your best friend, who gives his life for you? Then David sent messengers and took her. Lustatosis. Hello. He got slammed, didn't he? He got blinded. You know, I'm telling you. Now you got to understand, you got to also look at other spirits involved here. The lazy spirit. That's another assassin demon. The lazy spirit. Why? Because that lazy spirit prevented him from what? Going out to war. And that prideful spirit, which we're going to get to, said, man, it's okay, I'm going to take my authority. But he was misusing his authority, wasn't he? But let's go back to the lazy spirit. Lust promotes laziness. Lust drives you to forfeit high priority concerns. Why? Because we're to maintain the duties of the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said something very profound. Don't you know I'm about my Father's business? Never lost sight about being about his Father's business. Never allowed the love for his mother and family and anything else, or the lust for them, to interfere There was borders and boundary lines that he never crossed over. Amen. Why? Because his whole purpose was to be about his Father's business in every area of his life. We know that David, now you got to remember, look at what happened. Remember in verse 7, then Uriah came to him and David asked how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the war was prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah departed from the king's house and a gift of food from the king followed him. Oh, setting him right up. Let's see, how can I get him out of his way, out of my way? Why, lust always promotes murder. Amen? Lust always promotes what? Murder. See, now the duties of the kingdom is about salvation of souls and destruction of Satan's kingdom. Is everybody with me? The duties of the kingdom of God is about salvation of souls and a destruction of Satan's kingdom. And how Satan's kingdom? By truth. Because truth is light. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Judges 16. It's right after Joshua. It's in the J section. Judges 16. Oh, here's a good one. You know, hallelujah. Samson really got out of, lost his destiny big time. Whew. Talk about a lust, assassin spirit of lust. Woo-wee. Verse 6. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. I mean, come on. Samson was so bound by lust, right? I mean, that man was blinded big time. Here Delilah is asking him, come on, tell me. Tell me. She was offering her body for the secret of Samson's anointing. She was not only offering her body for the secret of Samson's anointing, but for his connection with God. That lost spirit always wants to steal the anointing and your connection. So everybody got it? Go to verse 20 and look what happened. And so she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. Yes, and I have your hair in my pocket. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know the Lord had departed from him. Oh. However, then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after he had been shaved. But it took a long time, so he became blinded, didn't he? Lust spirit kills destiny and imprisons individuals with blindness. Go to Proverbs 6. We'll hang out in the Proverbs for a couple here. Proverbs chapter 6. So Samson gave her the secrets that were between him and God. In verse 6, Proverbs 6, verse 6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So we see that laziness produces what? Poverty, doesn't it? Go to Proverbs 12. And this is the sixth assassin, is laziness. Proverbs 12. Is everybody there? In verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. He'll become a slave. Amen? The Bible says, no worky, no eaty. Proverbs 24. I know you want to get home to that popcorn, so I'm trying to make it faster. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Are you ready? Verse 30. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone walls were broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Let me share this with you. Many people start off good. Good intentions. But then that spirit of laziness starts to kick in. So they're no longer following things through. They're waiting for somebody else to pick up after them. Amen? So you go clean out the garage. People who are bound by the spirit of laziness are easily sidetracked. They went to go clean out the garage. Instead, they picked up a couple tools, left, didn't do anything in the garage. Then when they brought the tools back, they didn't put them away. They just put them on a shelf somewhere. That's called laziness. Never finishing the job, no matter what it is. Amen. Never following it through. Never asking God, is this acceptable to you? Amen. People go in kitchens and they cook up a storm to fulfill the flesh. Then they go to bed and expect somebody else to clean it up. That's called stinking laziness. That's called sluggardness. And it's called gluttony. Well, I'll just wait till tomorrow to do it. I'll wait till tomorrow. Yeah, I'll just leave the dishes in the sink and, you know, I'll leave everything all over. Amen? People don't complete what they were supposed to start. Amen? It's a spirit of laziness. Oh, hallelujah. Forced labor. It brings them into slavery. And I want to conclude here with Isaiah 14, the seventh one. The killer of all mankind. Pride, personal reverence into a deadly end. Isaiah 14. And verse 12. Would you read it with me? Are you there yet? Beat ya. Hallelujah. Who said that? See me after class. Hallelujah. Couldn't control your tongue, huh? Oh, hallelujah. And verse 12. How you are fallen, O Tony. I mean, Lucifer. Son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who are weak in the nations. For you have said in your heart, I'm going to say what I feel like. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Will be like the Most High God. And here's God's response. Yet you shall be brought down to what? Sheol, hell. The lowest depths of the what? Pit. Pride. Let me share something about pride. It's a habitual liar. It boasts of places it's never been. Come on. And it says it's accomplished things it's never done. Come on, I'm going to repeat this so you can write it down. Pride is a habitual liar. It boasts of places it's never been. And says it's accomplished things it's never done. Always gives an appearance of self-sufficiency. Always gives an appearance of self-sufficiency. But because it blinds, it can't discern. Remember, pride always blinds discernment. It moves ahead of God all the time. Because it can't discern time. Amen? Pride. Pride always ends up in the bottom of the pit. That's why the Bible says a haughty spirit always goes before the fall. Amen. It's the most deadly assassin spirit there is. I want to close at Romans 8. Somebody answer that phone, please. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is what? For us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are what? More than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor assassins, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Get discerned. Remember, these are assassin spirits that are out to assassinate your destiny. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, and we are honored and blessed. And Lord, we repent for any association with these spirits. We break every tie, an emotional tie to these spirits. In the name of Jesus, we command those spirits, these assassin spirits of jealousy, pride, lust, disobedience, and laziness to loose us and to leave us, to go back to the pit where they came from, to the lowest parts, and not return in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we take our authority as we bind those spirits. We loose ourselves from those spirits, and we ask to be filled with your spirit with strength, power, wisdom, and knowledge, that we may be about your business in truth, spirit, and in power, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.